You know, it's funny when you send in all this research on plastics, like articles, notes, even that story about your gadget breaking. I thought I knew enough about plastic strength to be dangerous, but going through your stuff, I found something pretty amazing. It's not just about, the cracks and breaks we can see. It's about this hidden weakness, shrinkage, that can make plastics way more fragile than we think.
It's definitely one of those things that people don't always think about, but it's like super important when we're talking about how strong a plastic actually is.
So today we're going to do a deep dive into the world of shrinking plastics. We'll find out how this tiny problem creates microscopic vulnerabilities, how it impacts density, and even leads to those warped products we've all seen. We'll look at some real-world examples, from car parts to electronics, to see how shrinkage affects everyday things.
By the end of this deep dive, you'll know how shrinkage impacts plastics, like at a molecular level, and why that matters. For everything from a phone case to a car bumper.
Okay, let's start with something everyone knows. Those tiny holes that pop up in plastic over time, it's like the material is, I don't know, disintegrating from the inside.
Yeah, that's actually a good way to picture it. Basically, what happens is that as plastic cools down after it's made, it shrinks a little bit, right? And that shrinkage creates tiny gaps inside the material. We call those pores or voids.
So it's not like something is causing those holes from the outside. They're actually like built into the plastic itself.
Exactly. And the thing about those pores is they're like stress concentrators. Imagine a bridge with like a few weak supports. The weight of the bridge isn't spread out evenly, so those weak points have to take most of the load, making them way more likely to break. It's the same with plastic.
So even though the pores are tiny, they can really weaken the whole object.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know how we measure how much pulling force a material can take before it breaks? That's tensile strength. Well, shrinkage-induced porosity, that's what we call those pores, can reduce that strength by like 30 to 50%.
Wow, that's a big difference. So something that should be super strong could be way weaker just from those tiny holes.
Yep, exactly. Now let's talk about density for a sec.
Yeah.
Have you ever picked up two plastic things that look the same but feel totally different? Like one is flimsy and the other is sturdy.
Oh, yeah, for sure. You can just feel that some plastics are more solid.
Right. And a lot of that comes down to density, which is basically how tightly packed the molecules are. And guess what? Shrinkage reduces the density.
How interesting. So the molecules are more spread out, which weakens the bonds. It's like a loose weave on a fabric. It's going to rip easier.
Exactly. And this density thing is especially important for what we call crystalline plastics. Plastics like nylon, they get their strength from the molecules all being arranged in order, almost like a perfectly stacked brick wall.
So if the molecules are spread out, that perfect arrangement is messed up and the plastic gets weaker.
That's it. Shrinkage can disrupt that crystalline structure and make something like nylon much weaker. Like, imagine a type of nylon that normally has a crystallinity of 35%. That gives it the strength it needs for a specific job. But then, because of shrinkage, that crystallinity drops to 25%. Now it's much weaker and might not work for that job anymore.
It's crazy how something as simple as shrinkage can have such a big impact on the structure and how strong the material is.
Yeah, it really shows how important it is to understand these subtle things, because they can really affect how plastics work in the real world.
So we talked about shrinkage creating those weak spots and messing up how the molecules are arranged, but I want to see how that affects real products. Like you mentioned those car parts earlier. We're talking about stuff that needs to be super reliable, for safety and all.
Yeah, that's so important. And that's where shrinkage really shows its face. Think about a car bumper. It's got to be strong enough to take a hit in a crash. Let's just say it's built to handle like a 5 mile per hour crash without getting wrecked.
So it absorbs the energy and keeps the people inside safe.
Exactly. But if the bumper's weaker because of those pores from shrinkage, it can't absorb the impact as well. We're not talking about a little dent. That same bumper, if it's 30% weaker, might crumple at like 2 mil a pair.
Oh, that's a big difference. That could be really bad in a real accident.
For sure. And it's not just about breaking all at once. Shrinkage can create those tiny cracks, micro cracks that weaken the material over time.
So even if a part looks fine at first, it could be getting weaker on the inside.
Yep. Those little cracks make the plastic more likely to break down from being used a lot or from being in really hot or cold temperatures. It's like bending a paperclip over and over. It gets weaker every time until it snaps.
I get it. So a car part that vibrates all the time or is out in the heat and cold, it could slowly break down from those micro cracks.
Exactly. And this is true for a ton of car parts, not just bumpers, dashboards, engine parts, even structural supports. If it's plastic and gets used a lot, it could be weakened by shrinkage.
Kind of scary to think about all those hidden weaknesses in our cars.
It just means we got to be aware of it, both people who buy cars and the people who make them. If we understand how shrinkage works, we can design things better, check quality more carefully, and make safer vehicles.
Speaking of awareness, you said shrinkage can cause problems in electronics too, and it sounds like warping is a big part of that.
Yeah, warping is super common in electronics.
Yeah.
Especially those cases in housings. Remember how we talked about uneven shrinking when the plastic cools?
Right, different parts cool and shrink at different speeds, so it gets all distorted.
That's it. And in electronics, where everything is so small and precise, even a tiny bit of warping can mess things up. Like, imagine a phone case that's warped a little.
It's going to be hard to put on, or it won't fit right and put pressure on the phone.
Yeah, and it's not just how it looks. Warping can also screw up how the electronics work. All those tiny circuit boards and sensors are supposed to fit perfectly.
So if the case is warped, it throws everything off.
Exactly. You could end up with parts that don't line up.
Or connections that are under stress.
Or even parts that break when you're putting it together.
I bet this is even worse with those super thin laptops and tablets, where every little bit of space matters.
You got it. The tolerances are so tight in those devices, any warping at all can mess up the whole design and make it break down faster. It's like trying to fit a square block into a round hole. Just not going to work.
You know, I was reading something about designing smartphones, and they said even the color of the plastic can affect shrinkage. Darker colors absorb more heat, which can make it warp more.
Yeah, it's wild how all these little things play a part in shrinkage and warping. It's a complicated mix of stuff. That's why it's so tough for manufacturers to control it.
So it's not as easy as just using the right kind of plastic. You have to understand the whole process and how it all works together.
That's exactly it. You got to think about the big picture. Shrinkage isn't just one little problem. It's tied to everything about how we design and make things with plastic.
This is all pretty complicated from a manufacturing side. But what about us, the people who buy and use these products? We're not engineers, but we're the ones dealing with the consequences.
That's a great question. And it brings us to something really important. Awareness is key. We might not be able to control how things are made, but we can be smarter about what we choose to buy.
So we've talked about the shrinkage thing in plastics, you know, those tiny flaws that can weaken something over time, but it's like easier to talk about than to actually see it happening. I bet everyone listening has seen this in their own lives.
Oh yeah, totally. We all have that junk drawer full of broken gadgets and stuff, like plastic containers that cracked for no reason. Or maybe a car part that just gave out way too soon.
Exactly. So let's flip things around. Instead of us talking at you about shrinkage, we want to hear from you guys. Think about a time when you had a plastic thing break and it just didn't make sense.
Like a toy that snapped too easily.
Right.
Or a kitchen gadget that fell apart. Or even a phone case that cracked even though you never dropped it.
Right. Now think about what we've learned about shrinkage. The tiny holes, the density thing, the warping. Could that be why those things broke? Did the plastic feel kind of brittle or thin?
Maybe you noticed it got discolored or brittle over time.
Yeah.
That could be from those micro cracks we talked about.
We really want to hear your stories. Tell us in the comments, send an email, whatever. Tell us about those times when a plastic thing broke and you were like, what the heck?
Yeah, your stories could help people understand this problem. And maybe even get manufacturers to make things better.
It's about being smarter shoppers, you know, asking the right questions and choosing stuff that's built to last.
This whole deep dive has been about showing you the weird weakness of plastic. This shrinkage thing affects everything from car bumpers to phone cases.
And even though we can't always avoid shrinkage, knowing about it helps us make better choices about what we buy, how we use it, and what we expect from it.
So keep sending us your deep dive requests. Stay curious. And let's keep figuring out the mysteries of how things work together.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next time.